Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Welcome, everybody, to the Sports Rivals. I'm Gary Thorne. We are delighted to have you with us. Our purpose here, we are trying to preserve the memories of classic sports rivalries through the words of those who participated in them. These are rivalries that are described from the inside out. Let me tell you, today with our guests, we talk about rivalries, what this podcast is about. Well, this rivalry is tops in one particular area. This is basketball, and it's about Oregon State University and the University of Oregon. In the history of the NCAA, no two schools have played more basketball games against one another than Oregon State University and Oregon. This rivalry goes back to 1903. They have played 354 games between them. OSU with 190 wins, and Oregon with 164. And
you've got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. And the two guests we have today have participated in this rivalry, so we'll find out what it looks like from the inside out. Lamar Hurd played at OSU, Oregon State University, graduating in 2006. He was a starting point guard for 4 years, as an all-Pac-10 player and a team MVP. He works for the Trailblazers now as an analyst on television. Lamar Hurd at OSU and Luke Jackson at Oregon from 2000 to 2004. Luke did something no other player in that university's history has ever done, and that's finish in the top 10 in 9 different university statistical categories. He was the 10th pick of Cleveland, 2004. Has played professional basketball and has coached college basketball. We'll get into it a bit because Luke was born in Eugene, Oregon. And these two schools, University of Oregon is in Eugene and the other is in Corvallis, Oregon. They are separated by about 37 miles. So not only is the rivalry intense on the basketball court, but these schools are literally sitting on top of one another geographically in Oregon. So Lamar Hurd, let me start with you. Can you give us a sense of what you knew about the rivalry before you came to play, and then what you found out about it while you were there?
Yeah, well, first I'll say it's good to see Luke this morning. I haven't seen him in a few years, and he's definitely somebody who I've always had a lot of respect for. And that was before I even got to the state of Oregon. So to answer your question, I didn't know much about the rivalry because I'm coming from Houston, Texas. And down there, you know, we know a lot about like Oklahoma, Texas. Everybody knows about Duke, North Carolina. And I didn't really know a whole lot about Oregon State, first of all, other than Gary Payton went there. And then Brent Berry had won the slam dunk contest at some point while I was in high school. So that was really the most I knew. I heard of Corey Benjamin, who was a high flyer. But the University of Oregon, I knew all about them because my senior year of high school, that's when the team with Luke Jackson and Luke Ridenour and Freddie Jones and all those guys made that deep run in the NCAA tournament. So when I decided to go to Oregon State, I actually knew recently more about the University of Oregon than I knew about Oregon State until I, of course, got on campus and learned more during my official visit. And then, of course, when I started my freshman year. So it took probably about a week or two where I felt like I understood what the rivalry was all about. Like on my official visit, I remember them talking about Oregon and beating Oregon. And so like I would hear it, but when you're on your official visit, you're soaking in all these other things. Like I'm just meeting the coaches for the first time on campus. I'm just meeting some of these academic advisors. And so I'm not really focused in on the rivalry aspect of things. But once I got into campus that fall, that's when I really truly started to understand it. When I saw our football team, which was a really good team at that time, led by Derek Anderson at quarterback, Steven Jackson as a running back, James Newsom as the wide receiver. And when I heard those guys talk about Oregon and beating the Ducks, I knew how important it was going to be for us to try to do the same thing in basketball. And at that time, our basketball team had lost to the Oregon Ducks. The men's team had lost like 18 of the last 20 matchups or something like that. So for us, it was a big deal. And I'll let Luke speak to this, but for them, you know, coming off of like a national run, we probably, I don't know that we were as targeted by them as they were as targeted by us, but I'm sure that there was some weight in that game for everybody involved.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think over the years, Oregon State has always been a trap because of Gill Coliseum and how difficult it is to play there. And I have to say, Lamar, I'm a fan of you commentating and everything that you've done after basketball.
Thank you.
You know, you make things that are difficult to do look pretty easy on a nightly basis. But growing up 40 minutes away from Gill and having University of Oregon right in my backyard, being 9 miles down the road in high school, I was getting recruited pretty heavily by OSU and Oregon. I mean, I'd be walking out of school and an OSU coach would just pop out of the bushes and, "Hey, Luke, how you doing? Following you around." Came to all the baseball games. And I was really close to becoming a Beaver. And I was a fan of the school. Ultimately, what it came down to for me was my grandpa, who ended up passing away, who drove me to all my basketball games, kind of took care of me, lived with him for a while growing up. He was such a big Oregon fan. I felt like I couldn't let him down. But you could never overlook Gill Coliseum. And anytime that we weren't that good and the Beavers were good, it was always a tough win at Gill. And back when we were playing at Mack Court, and that was a really ruckus environment as well.
Yep. Yeah, Mack Court was crazy. So the reason why Oregon State was probably a trap for you guys a lot of that time during your time, Luke, is because you guys had the better team more times than not. And so, you know, like for the people at Oregon State, like it, I remember my freshman year when our first game against the Ducks was at Mack Court. And I remember everybody was telling me, "Hey, when you go in there, the floor bounces, the floor moves." And I didn't understand what they were talking about because you don't really play in gyms where the floor literally moves. But when you're at the free throw line, or, you know, like one of the Lukes just hit a three or something and the crowd is going crazy and everybody's jumping, you're feeling the floor like literally like move. You feel the baskets are vibrating and they're shaking. So it was like a crazy environment. But it wasn't until that freshman year for me, Luke, where we played you guys at Gill, we had our biggest crowd, hands down. And my freshman year, we had a new coach. And so people were just kind of excited about like a fresh start. And for me, basketball-wise, my freshman year and probably my senior year were probably my best 2 years overall. I've talked about this publicly a lot, but like I had some struggles, some real struggles, especially my sophomore and junior year. I was clashing with my coaches. We just weren't seeing eye to eye. It was a struggle for me. Like my junior year in college was my worst basketball year of my life. But going into my freshman year, everybody's excited. I'm playing fairly well. That was a year where I did get some All-Pac-10 honors. I remember playing at Gill Coliseum that year and seeing the crowd that came out and just thinking like, man, we got to have this kind of crowd all the time. If we can have this kind of crowd all the time, like we could do some stuff. And I remember Luke and them came in there and they smacked us by like 20 points. And after the game, people were just saying, like, you're not going to get those kind of crowds all the time until, like, you guys can beat them. And so for us, going even into that offseason, we were thinking about things like beating Oregon. Whereas, again, Oregon and Luke, they're thinking about, we got to make another national run. But for us, we had to, you know, take – we had to walk before we could run. We had to take that first step. And so that was a big deal for us. And it wasn't until that next year, in my sophomore year, where we finally beat them as a program. It had been a long time. But it was they were always kind of like – I don't want to say a standard necessarily, but we had to get them first. Like I'm one of the Beavers that don't mind admitting that. It is what it is. It's tough. It's tough for Beaver Nation, you know, whenever we lose to Oregon, but we know we have to be able to beat them in the state to take that next step that we want to take. And so after losing to them both times my freshman year, all the rest of my years in college, we at least split. And to Luke's point, the only place we won was in Gill Coliseum. Every time we go down to Matt Court, or actually Matt Knight Arena wasn't made yet. So when we go to Matt Court, you know, it'd be a tough game, and we weren't ever able to pull that off.
Yeah, going into Gill, it's an old field house. I hope they never change Gill.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I agree.
It smells like popcorn. You've got all the players up on the walls, and you know, it was the same exact feel at the pit at Matt Court back in the day. And in 2000-2001, our football team was just now kind of coming into its own. The basketball program was kind of okay, and you're talking about going through some of those struggles. Our program in football and basketball was still on the cusp. Mm-hmm. And in my sophomore year, Joey Harrington and the football team ended up being number two in the country. Mm-hmm. And we went on this run after being 14-14 the previous year and going all the way to the Elite Eight. And that brought Phil Knight on board in a way that he hadn't been involved with in the past. And obviously, I mean, I feel a certain amount of resentment now. Mm-hmm. because, you know,
you Oregon, see all the stuff now?
Yeah, we didn't have all that stuff back in the day. We were still hanging our shirts on a nail in the locker room and not having everything that you could possibly imagine. And I feel a lot of pride in helping bring Phil Knight to that stage where there's only maybe one or two other guys. But today, when you look at where the athletic programs are, I'm telling you, there is a deep amount of resentment from an OSU fan. And you guys have great programs. Mm-hmm. Pat Casey, with what the baseball program's been able to do, he's one of my favorite coaches of all time. One of the best, if not the best, baseball coach of all time. Mm-hmm. In college, but there's not a lot of love coming back from Beaver fans because of that. I'm correct there, right?
Yeah, you're saying because of Phil Knight's involvement?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of Beaver fans that have a hard time with that, for sure. And, you know, there's Beaver fans that feel like without Phil Knight, hey, Oregon, what would you be? They feel like it'd be more of a level – playing field. But you know, look, that is what it is, and Beaver fans know we just gotta do more, gotta do better. That's just the case. Two things that I've learned already, just hearing from you, Luke. I didn't know that was the year when Phil Knight really started to get ingrained in the athletic program like that. And then, man, I didn't know you was that close to coming to Oregon State. You had to make things worse, because if you had been there, then you wouldn't have been hanging 39 or whatever it was on my head our sophomore year. Because that's the game. Whenever people ask me, Luke, all the time, like, who was one of the toughest people you had to defend against? I always tell them, in just a general basketball setting, so regular, whether it's a regular game or a workout or something like that, Damon Stoudemire is the guy in 2007 – so he's on the tail end of his career. And I was in Houston working out with Damon, with John Lucas. I would go down there in summers and work out. and we were doing like this one-on-one drill. And as you can imagine, guarding Damon Stoudemire one-on-one with literally nobody else on the court to help is a huge problem. So he was one of the first people were standing in front of him. Like, I felt like I was having to guess where he was going to go. Like, it was a mess. And then when I talk about during a real game, I talk about the Lukes at Oregon. And for Luke Ridenour, I only got to play him 1 year because he left after my freshman year to go to the NBA. But then you, the next year, I was always stuck guarding, like, wings like you. Big wings who are taller, who are stronger. And I had to guard it because we played a three-guard lineup. So I remember my sophomore year, that game that we finally beat you guys. It was at home. And so, like, throughout the game, you know, like, we got this game plan. Like, Lamar, you sick Luke whenever you're in. Unless we have this other guy. His name was Jim. Jim would guard Luke as well, so we would trade off. And throughout the game, like, I'm thinking, like, I'm feeling good about it. Like, I'm having a good game all around, like, offensively, which I didn't score. Like, so my whole thing was assists, keeping things rolling, keeping everybody connected, whereas Luke is just getting buckets in addition to doing that stuff. And so I remember, like, midway through the second half where we felt like, okay, we got the lead, feel like we could win this. We kind of got Luke under control. Man, there was a timeout. We're going back to the bench. We look up, and Luke has like 28 or something, 30. And there's like, I don't know how much time. There's a lot of time left. And I remember thinking, wait a minute. I thought we were doing a good job on him, because it felt like we were doing somewhat of a good job on him. But he was so efficient scoring the ball that he was able to still get numbers where it didn't feel like he was having to jack up shots in bulk. And so I just always remember, Luke, after that game, man, that game sticks with me for so many reasons. It was our first time beating you guys. It was a big deal for our school. And then what you did to us, it was crazy. So I wish you would have come to Oregon State so I didn't have to be on the other side of that. That would have been nice.
Well, I was so close to coming to Oregon State. I remember, man, who was the coach that was there? He left like the year after I came in. But
Richie McKay?
No, it was before that.
Coach Anderson?
Nope.
Yes. Oh, man. Why can't I get the name?
Eddie Payne?
Payne. Yes. Eddie Payne.
Yeah. So I asked him, I said, hey, coach, you know, I really like it here. Can you guarantee me that you're going to be here in 4 years? And he looked at me and said, hey, I can't promise you anything. And for me, you know, having been a college basketball coach and I really want a kid bad, you know, I might bend the other way and say, hey, I might be here for the next 40 years. Yeah, I want it so bad. And that kind of struck me as like, okay, man, this guy isn't really sure about this. And I fell in love with a lot of the school. I remember meeting Gary Payton at a Midnight Madness.
Yep.
And Brent Berry, AC Green, a bunch of these guys. The history was there. It was just right down the road. And I got along with quite a few of the players. But that was the one thing that I asked the coach. I said, hey, are you going to be here for all my 4 years? And he kind of hesitated right there. And I couldn't even believe it. And that was just kind of the sign, I guess, that I needed to hear. But, you know, going back to that game you were talking about, you know, if me a few years ago before, I've lost a little bit of my competitiveness. Mm-hmm. It used to be pretty bad. I'd probably instantly start talking trash as soon as you start talking about a game like that. That being said, I do believe I had 39, 16, and 9. But the thing about it is
that
when you go into Gill, it was a war. And it didn't matter the type of season that you were having. If we were 14-14 going into that last game of the season, the thing that really mattered to our coach, Ernie Kent, at the time, who was an Oregon alum, is you don't lose to OSU. And it means a lot, even if you have a mediocre team or season, that you go out and make it an absolute war. And you know, I've seen Tinkle, the coach, literally will his team to a few wins when Oregon was a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Just having it mean that much to him and watching him and just seeing how bad he wants to beat Oregon and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Even when one team would be a little bit better than the other.
Yeah.
Lamar, what do you think about the current status of the program right now, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, I think that overall, I mean, it's always a competitive bunch of guys. The wins haven't always added up. And as you know, Luke, being both on the player side and the coach side, for somebody who's on the outside looking in, it's easy to kind of be the Monday morning quarterback and say, you know, well, they should have done this, or why didn't this happen, or how'd you lose that game? You should have gone to this. But for anybody on the outside, you're not at practices every day. You're not hearing the messages being sent. So in certain situations, like say there's a disconnect between coach and player, you don't know if that's because the coach is not being patient enough, isn't being attentive enough, or if it's the player maybe being a hard-headed player. Coach has been saying, preaching the same thing all week, and it's still not connecting the same way. So there's been some times where I feel like I've seen that. I feel like I've seen a bit of a disconnect, and that is not a direct shot at either party, the coach side or the player side. But when I used to work with the Pac-12 and call games, I got a chance to be a little bit more on the inside and see shoot around or just be on the sideline across from the bench and see what's going on. And I always felt like there was a really good connection between entire coaching staff and all the players. And so I've been removed from that since 2016, 2017.
Yeah.
And you know, at that time, you know, you see some guys transferring, which happens everywhere. But, you know, like I don't feel like I have the same pulse on the program right. The same way. But what I do know is I do believe in Wayne and his staff from a principal aspect. Like I know the things they believe in. I know what they stand for. Discipline, integrity, accountability. I know they're all about that stuff. And that's all stuff that I feel like is extremely important in my life. So, you know, you would love, Luke, for the school to have the all-time leading scorer who just finished his career this year in Trace Tinkle, be part of a team, a program that has made multiple NCAA tournament runs, but it hasn't happened. So, you know, Wayne would be the first person to tell you, like, hey, I'm going to be a great guy. I'm going to keep doing what I can do. But, you know, we got to win. We got to get over that hump. So I think that's what everybody who's a supporter of Oregon State, for the most part, I should say, is just still waiting for, getting over that hump, the same way you guys have at Oregon. Like,
yeah,
Oregon now, it's a household name all around the country.
And, you know, Lamar, I feel a little sense of pride in the fact that our program is where it is. When I came in my freshman year, I didn't play a whole lot, and we were 14-14, and we didn't go to the NIT. And I remember being so sick to my stomach watching the NCAA tournament and that next summer living in the gym for 8 hours a day. And that was it. And everybody was there. And some guys got good enough to where, you know, we took it to the next level. But we weren't playing that type of basketball until we were so sick of it, of being right there on the cusp. And it's crazy today, the success now that we helped usher in, like Dana Altman, we really lucked out in bringing him. Mm-hmm. I know Oregon tried to get Mark Few and offered him the job before Altman. Mm-hmm. And he turned it down because, you know, Mark Few is from Crestwell. He's from the same town that I'm from, right south of Eugene. But we got Dana Altman. And he's one of the best coaches in college basketball. Now, I'm attached to Oregon State a little bit. I ended up having the chance to work out Trace in the summertime. And then Kyler Kelly played for me at NCU.
That's right.
And, you know, I helped bring him to the program. And I was really rooting for Trace and for Kyler. I've never seen anybody work as hard in the summer, I mean, besides what I was doing, as Trace. And, you know, he put a lot of hours in, and, you know, it's going to pay dividends for him down the road. But the program is just right on the cusp. And I mean, I can only speak for myself, but having had Oregon take that step up, and Phil Knight's a huge part of that. Oregon State is exactly where we were in 2001, 2002, just right on the cusp, it feels like, with both football and basketball. But it seems like everything's on the right track.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, the part that's tough, I think, for Oregon State fans is they felt that way before. So going back to even the Civil War rivalry, that, and like how you were talking earlier about how some of your games and your guys' seasons helped propel the team to having Phil Knight get more involved, and now they get to enjoy stuff you weren't a part of. We went through the same thing. So my sophomore year, after we did beat you guys in that game, we had a lot of, like, a lot of our boosters felt a lot more a part of the program just from that win alone, because it had been so long. And they started to put plans in play for reconstructing the locker room, which got done, but it got done the year after I graduated. And so, and there's other things, plans for a practice facility were starting to pick up a little bit of steam. And things just really started to pick up just from that Oregon game. So, like, winning for Oregon State, winning that game consistently across all the programs does wonders for women's basketball. They started to beat up on Oregon, and now those two go back and forth. They're two of the best in the country every year now. It's a great thing to watch. Baseball, if they're beating Oregon. Football, if you can get Oregon again consistently, like, that equals money for our
team. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that changes stuff. So that's why that game is serious. So to your point, it doesn't matter what your – it does matter what your overall record is. Like, you still look at that. But you can have a bad record and beat Oregon at Oregon State and still get people excited about your
opponent. Oh, yeah. Well, and the key, especially to basketball, maybe not so much for football, is – you got to keep the recruits in state at home.
Yeah.
And when you're winning the Civil War, you can go to that recruit the next day who went to the game, who's getting recruited by both schools. I mean, there's several kids right now in the state that if they go to either program, it's going to decide a huge future for the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you start winning those battles, you get those kids, and that's the cornerstone of a basketball program. Now with football, it takes a lot of kids, but in basketball, you know, you can have a Nathan Biddle, all right, you can have a Damon Stoudemire, you know, a lot of the people that have come out of Portland. If you lock those kids up, you take a look at where that program goes. Now, I don't know how much you've been around Gary Payton. I'm sure a fair amount.
Yeah, enough.
I had just met him at, I think I was maybe like a junior in high school at Midnight Madness, and they brought back some of the alums. And so I go on with my 4 years, go to Oregon, I get drafted, and I think at the time he was playing in Boston, okay?
Okay.
And maybe like a short stint in Boston. It's before the game. And I'm walking through, you know, underneath in the tunnel, and I see Gary, and I'm like, hey, I'm a Duck. He's a Beaver. And I know he's famous for trash talking, but I'm just going to say something to him as I walk by. And as we all know, Gary Payton is like one of the best all-time trash talkers ever.
Hall of Fame.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Okay. And I made that mistake.
Oh, man.
So I go past him and I say, hey, last time I was at Gill, I dropped 39. And I just kept going, right?
Yeah.
So he cocks his head to the side, right?
Yeah.
It just starts jawing and walking at me. And I'm like, this guy's going to fight me. And, you know, I thought he was going to smile or something. And he said, man, last time I was at Matt Court, I dropped 40. We beat you guys by 20. And he was just coming at me. And I was trying to get a laugh out of him.
Yeah.
But it was serious.
Yeah, it's serious.
It was serious. And I definitely underestimated his ability to intimidate.
Yeah.
And jaw and not stop so I could get a word in.
Yeah. No, man. That's Gary. That's Gary for sure. And you know what? It's funny because look at the difference of the times. So when Gary played, when you and I played, the social media aspect of things wasn't so big, where guys were able to develop these maybe genuine friendships between the two schools and things be a little bit more peaceful. Like for us, when we were in school, it's not like we, I don't want to say just didn't like you guys as people, but you definitely were the team we liked the least. Like we didn't like you guys, you know what I'm saying? Like seriously.
Yeah, that's okay, man. That's
yeah, right. Yeah. Like we
just let
we
it all not, come out. Let
we
it
weren't cool. I think if you can like Luke, can you remember any time when we were playing against each other and we were out there just chatting, talking? I don't remember like coming down the court being like, hey Luke, man, what you gonna do next weekend? Or whatever. Like we have respect for you guys, but
no, there's a genuine hatred. Especially on that night. Now,
yeah,
it's easy to summon that because you know how mm-hmm. much it means
mm-hmm.
and you want to have the pride of, hey, we're the best team in state.
Mm-hmm.
And we might have not been that all season long, but we are tonight.
Tonight, yep.
And it was just a tough battle coming yeah. in every single night. And one of my favorite things to do now is to go to the Civil War games. If you look at the last few years, mm-hmm. you don't know who's going to win each night.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter how one team is doing or how well you're playing, because you can get up for that. You know that the crowd is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big factor.
Yeah,
that's a big factor, especially when you're playing them maybe the last game of the season. Both teams are a little beat up,
mm-hmm.
and you go in, and all of a sudden it's an 8 o'clock, you know, ESPN game,
mm-hmm.
and the crowd's going crazy. I remember a couple years ago at Gill watching this game, and there was zero oxygen left in yeah. Gill. Yeah. Everyone's breathing the exact same air. It's been yeah. recycled. The chainsaw is going off.
Yep.
and people yep. are genuinely angry.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I'm scared to wear green.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And
it's true. I think yeah. are you talking about the game two seasons ago? Because I got a chance to attend that game. It yeah, was
I remember late in the game there was a technical foul. It might yes. have been a few more seasons. I don't know. But there was a technical foul, and the refs were at the scoreboard for like a solid 2-3 minutes.
Mm.
And the entire crowd is just dancing and screaming mm-hmm. and enjoying every second.
Yeah. No, it's the biggest, wildest crowd of the year. Like that year when we first beat you guys when I was a sophomore, I remember in our student section, Derek Anderson – from the football team, quarterback's been in the NFL for a long yeah. time. He's leading all the cheers. And he's got like – and like once it gets to a point where we know and everybody in the crowd knows we're winning that game, he's like – he takes his keys out, starts shaking them. I don't know if you remember this. Everybody starts shaking their keys in the student section. Like they're shaking their keys like, all right, Oregon, go start the bus, go home. And like after the game –
Now you're starting to bring back the old me.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get triggered.
Hey, they're shaking the keys, Luke. As soon as the game was over, look, this is how crazy it was. It's not even like that team that you guys had that year was like one of the, you know, top 10 teams in the country or something like that. But after the game, our crowd rushed the floor. It was that big of a deal where they rushed the floor. So, you know, one thing that I forgot about going into that season or going into that week, I'm sorry, going into that week when we got our first win against you guys, Coach Jimmy Anderson, who is a Hall of Fame coach at Oregon State University, he's the one that coached Gary Payton. He came to our locker room and spoke to our team about the importance of the Civil War, and he was crying by the end of it. He was telling us stories of times when him and some old teams would go to Mack Court, and they would like shoot the team with BB guns, and like seriously, and like how like it's seriously a real war. It's not a game. It's for real. And I remember that shifted our whole focus that week. Because that embodied kind of the pain, the excitement, the level of importance that the fan base held for that game. And it really did change our perspective. Like, the game is already a big deal, but when we had him come in there and talk to us like that, it certainly took us up a few notches that I don't know if we would have gone to without having been able to hear from him.
Guys, yeah, and we had the exact same thing with Ernie Kent as an alum. He played at Oregon, and he didn't care about any other game as much as he cared about OSU Oregon, because he knew he had been a part of it. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, I go to the Oregon State game this last year, the Civil War game, or maybe it was a year prior, but I get put right next to the athletic director of Oregon State. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Okay. And, you know, I'm wearing a neutral shirt. I'm not trying to, you know, rub what's going on and, you know, and vice versa. So they beat us, and I stand up, and he turns to me and gives me a giant high five.
Wow.
And I'm just thinking to myself, if anybody ever saw that happen, I would just get disowned.
Yeah. Yeah.
I needed to get that off my chest, because I still feel sick about that.
You know what, Luke? I got to go find the tape on that. We got to get that tape and put it out there or something.
Guys, I hate to have to cut you off. Honest to God, it's just I can't imagine two people who could have gotten to the core of Oregon State University and Oregon basketball rivalry any better than what you have done for us. And I can't believe that you've run the clock on this one. It's just been a great pleasure to listen to you. Great stories and a great feeling for what this basketball rivalry really means. I thank both of you, Lamar Hurd, OSU, Luke Jackson, out of the University of Oregon, our guests here today on the most played basketball rivalry in NCAA history, OSU and the University of Oregon. And you've listened to two who participated in it and obviously still live it, because those kinds of rivalries don't go away. That is going to conclude another chapter of our Sports Rivals. To learn more about this and other episodes, we invite you to log on thesportsrivals.com. You can join the conversation, questions, and ideas for future shows if you'd like. Also, follow us on Instagram at TheSportsRivals, Twitter at Rivals_podcast, and on Facebook by searching for TheSportsRivals_podcast. We thank all of you, and we thank Lamar, and we thank Luke for some great insight into this rivalry. And remember, it is the rivalries that make the games.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.